What's up, guys? You have reached another episode of Equipped with Peace. I am your host, Marimbe, and we are jumping into a new episode today. Praise the Lord. Guys, I'm just appreciating the process of growing in the Lord, maturing day by day, every year. That's the goal of this life. Sometimes we think that we are saved and then we suddenly just have to just have it all together, but this is essentially, it's a rebirth. And when the Lord says you will have to be born again, he means that, because when you come to Christ, I think I came to Christ, I think it was 2013, so that will be how many years ago now? Almost 11 to 12 years ago now. But you come to Christ and you're this baby and you're learning everything, and it's literally you are starting over again. Every foundation that you had that was not rooted in the Lord, it's like swept away gradually, and he starts you from the very beginning. And there are some stages in the walk where it's painful, stages in the walk where it's confusing, stages in the walk where it's so frustrating and you'd rather, you know, you're like, why didn't I just like say no to this, or why am I in this? And this is just being real. And there are stages where, you know, you have to pray that the Lord keeps you on that altar, or keeps you tied down so that you don't run. And that's like life, isn't it? Like, you know, you go through birth, you're in your toddler stage, then you're a child, then you're a teenager in puberty, you're like, no one can tell me anything. Then you are thrust into adulthood, and then you are severely humbled by the realities of life and the demands of life. And you continue growing. And, you know, from my conversations with like women that are older than me, you never stop growing. Like, I remember talking to my mom some years back, and she mentioned how, like, you know, growth, it's not like this place that you arrive at. Like, suddenly as a child, you often look at adults and you feel like, oh, they've arrived, like they've reached their destination. But I remember being so intrigued by this dialogue with my mom, who is like, she's about 57 now, I believe. She'll be 58 this year, but she was like, no, like it's not an arrival. It's not like you reach a train station and you're like, suddenly I'm at the grown-up shop. Like, I've arrived at my optimal stage. No, like, we are continually growing. And I do love that the scriptures showcase real individuals who are in that growth process. Peter being one of them, you know, Paul even being another. We get to see Paul in his BC era, and we get to see him in his post-receiving Christ era also. So it is an encouragement to us as believers. We should never feel as though, oh my gosh, I should have this all together, I should have this figured out. None of the people, particularly in the Old Testament, none of these people had the foresight or hindsight, I don't know, that we do now. They didn't have that. Abraham, when the Lord said, get up and leave your father's house to the place that I will show you, he had no idea. He just got up and went. And I'm sure that, you know, Sarah was having some questions. None of these people knew what was going to happen. But it's us here. We're living in the beautiful stage where we have the benefit of having the entirety of the scriptures, and we get to understand the full picture of what God was doing. Whereas the people living in those circumstances, they had no idea what was going on. They didn't know, oh, this is part of a full overarching plan for Christ Jesus to come and reconcile, you know, a fallen people to a perfect God. They didn't think that. Even the prophets, they were prophesying, as the scripture says, we prophesy in part. We only know in part. We are limited in our understanding here earth side, but it's only when we meet the Lord face to face we'll be able to encapsulate the fullness of his being. So we put this pressure on ourselves sometimes to know everything and be perfect at everything and to understand everything. And I'm just here to remind you, if you're a perfectionist saint of God, that you don't have to have it all figured out. You just need to be following the one that does, in Jesus' name. So today, what was on my heart, actually, I think it kind of links to what I was just talking about, is what is true success? Success redefined. Because I really want to speak to a culture, and I really want to speak to a people where we are success or ambition driven. We are out here killing our goals. We are out here, you know, you can make money off of social media. You can make money for just being yourself, or maybe having a persona on social media. We are out here smashing goals. We've got LinkedIn. We've got all these connection points. and networks that allow us to kind of advance in our careers. And we all have these checkpoints and goals of like, yes, I want to, you know, finish school, go to university, graduate university, get a good job, get married, have a house, have four kids, da 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 da. We all have these beautiful lists of things that we want to do. And it's beautiful and it's wonderful to have a goal. The word of God, yes, it does say this is an out of context scripture that people often throw around, out of context rather, where it says write down the vision and make it plain. So we take that and we're like, yeah, I have to write down the vision. So it's not bad to plan, but the word also says in Proverbs, it says that man may make their plans, but it's the Lord's will that will prevail. So we can make plans, but the trick and what we kind of have to learn sometimes is to hold our plans loosely. Our plans should be birthed from connection and relationship with the Lord. Our plans should not be this separate entity or categorized in a different section, like God has this section of our heart and we create our plans in this section of our heart. One chamber is God, one chamber is our plans, another chamber is this, another chamber is that. No, like God is supposed to be the source of all of our plans, of all of our ambition. And he saves a whole lot of time, right? When we are trying to construct a building, it's like us trying to make a building out of sticks and stones. And that thing is going to fall down, when it would have been much easier if we consulted with the Lord and said, hey, Lord, what is it that you want for my future? Where should I be right now? And sometimes the Lord will be very clear and direct. And sometimes it will just look like being faithful in the here and now. And it will just look like obeying the next step, which is kind of when we actually look back in like, you know, 10, 20, 30, 40 years, and we'll realize, oh my gosh, like when he was asking me to do this, he was actually preparing me for when I will be where I am now, if that makes sense. So take the pressure off, simply be faithful day by day. But yes, where was I? Anyway, I was talking about success. So we're so success driven and it seeps into the church, you know, the culture and society that we're in, it seeps into the church. And that's not a new thing. In the times of Paul, you know, Peter, Timothy, all of them doing their thing, they were warring against, you know, philosophers of their time. Philosophy became a big deal around that time, where everyone was so interested in what's the latest craze, what's the latest religion, what's the latest thought. We want to become intellectual. It was intellectualism. It was a big deal in that time. I think that was the time where really like the Greek influence was really prevalent in that time. So they were, you know, there's this real desire for knowledge and wisdom and success and advancement and appearing important. And people love to feel respected and revered and to seem as though they're intelligent. So Paul is out here fighting against these guys who are coming up and they're preaching the gospel, but not preaching from pure motive. They're preaching so they can be exalted. But even Paul, even though he identified that, he was like, you know what? Allow it. At least they're preaching Christ. Like someone will get saved, even if their heart isn't right, even if their motive isn't pure. So what I am digging into is, you know, through observation and through introspection, I can speak perhaps as like from the younger generations. I don't know if I'm still considered a younger generation. I'm pretty sure I am a younger millennial. I think I'm on that cusp of the cutoff point. I'm like, I've just snuck into being a millennial. So in these, you know, millennials, Gen Zs, and whoever is after us, I'm sorry, I've forgotten. But in these generations, I don't know if we have a real awareness of what true success looks like in the eyes of God. I think that we are heavily influenced by society, societal expectations. We are heavily influenced clearly by social media, what is presented, the images we've observed on television, that highly and it really highly constructs our foundation of what success is. I don't know if we've really allowed the Lord to deconstruct our understanding of success, because I feel that because we have created a false imagery of what success is, as believers, we're not able to endure certain things. We're gobsmacked when we endure suffering. We're gobsmacked when we endure hardship. We're gobsmacked when we are offended, because we have been ill-prepared in our understanding of success. Or we're gobsmacked when
you know, where we feel like, oh my gosh, I've been attacked financially. Oh my gosh, this has happened and this has happened. And we feel like, oh my gosh, my success, I'm not successful anymore because maybe I was let go on my job. I'm not successful anymore because maybe my car was totaled. I'm not successful anymore because maybe my desire or dream of getting a house or buying a house in 5 years, it's been ruined because of this huge medical, you know, expense that has come out of my pocket. And we define success on our own terms and not in God's terms. So I kind of wanted to talk about that today, because I really just sense it on my heart. There's a scripture in Matthew. I'm going to go there. Matthew chapter 8, verse 18 to 20. And it says, when Jesus saw a large crowd around him, he gave orders to cross to the other side of the sea. And one of the scribes came to him and said, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I love that, because Jesus, I know he wasn't hating on the guy, but it's almost like, you know, when people are like, they're so hype about you and they're so excited and they're like, yeah, I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's like Peter, when he was like, I'm going to go with you to the ends of the earth, Jesus. Then 3 seconds later, Peter is denying that he even knows him. And I'm not even hating on Peter, because I am Peter. I will confess 110%. I would have done the same thing Broski did, if not have, you know, head for the heels, like, you know, 10 hours prior. But anyway, I'm not proud of that, but this is just being real. So I love this, because this guy, you know, he was amazed and fascinated by Christ. We don't know his heart, only the Lord knew his heart. And he's like, I'll follow you. Like, I want to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus is pretty much like, are you ready for this? Essentially, his response is, are you really prepared to live a life of full surrender? Is this enough for you? Will you accept this as success? And I'm reminded of another story where a rich young ruler, he came to Christ Jesus and he was like, hey, you know, what good teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus was like, you know, okay, keep the commandments, do this, whatever, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, honor your father and mother, don't lie, love your neighbor as yourself. And this young man was like, oh, I've done all of that. I've checked all those boxes. I've checked that box. I've done a good job. You know, I've done well for myself. I've obeyed the law to the letter. I have established myself. I've got a good financial foundation and XYZ. But then Jesus looks at him and he said, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And it says in verse 22, but when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. So I love that, because Jesus can always identify our weakness. He can always identify when we feel like we're doing well. he knows how to humble us. Don't mind my kids in the back. Yes. So when we feel like we're doing well, he knows how to remind us and be like, hey, honey, hey, son, don't get too cocky now. Like, hey, like, there's still growth. You have not yet reached the full understanding. There is still so much for you to learn. And it's not even him putting us down, but it's him reminding us of the standard. So both of these stories really showcase the cost of following Jesus, the cost of following Christ, because so many of us were like, yes, I want to follow you. I'm excited by you and I'm delighted in you. But to really walk a walk of surrender, it costs something. It's costly. It will cost every idea that you had of what success looked like, of what prosperity looked like, of what knowledge looked like. I'm telling you, I remember coming to Christ and I really had to fight like that element of not intelligence, but I was very, like, you know, intellectual. So I'm very factual. I like facts. I like to know things. I like to read. That's how I was raised. I like to go to the source. I don't like when things are not clear. I don't like when things are not confirmed and clarified and set in stone. I'm like, I don't like when people are just kind of talking from the air. And I just feel like, I'm like, can you just be, you know, maybe that's why I love like the scriptures so much, because I'm like, I want evidence. Like, don't just tell me something and expect me to believe it. So even though I would hear the word, they, I remember going through this real stage. It was probably the teenager stage of my faith, but I remember really wrestling every time I would receive a word or hear the word on Sunday. I would be wrestling and questioning and picking it apart and being like, that doesn't sound right. That's not this. I don't like that. Da, 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 da. I would be picking it apart until the Lord really had to do a work on my heart, where he's like, okay, let me actually come in. Because when you're doing that, you're putting up walls and not allowing my spirit to minister to you. So now don't worry about the delivery, like allow my spirit to minister to you and I will reveal truth to you. So through that, you know, the Lord would just show me then scriptures and all of that. And I was able to mature and grow a lot in that season. So in that season, the Lord really had to deconstruct. And it's something that, you know, in every stage that you're in, you find that like you go from level to level. The word says we go from glory to glory and faith to faith. So on every level of that reconstruction build of our identity, of who we are, there's always something that he has to work on. So I remember the Lord really had to deal with that area of my life of like, you know, leaning on my own understanding, leaning on, and it's not even my own understanding, but leaning on like my desire to have all the facts and have all the answers. So I had a lot of doubt because I doubted someone else's ability to communicate truth to me. If it wasn't from a source that I, you know, liked or was used to receiving from, and that's just, you know, being transparent. And truth be told, I think in that stage, the Lord had to humble me, in that regard, because otherwise I wouldn't have been able to receive anything. But I do see that as I've matured and as I've grown older in the faith, that it's actually a strength. It's a quality that he's refined. He had to refine it and kind of melt it down to purify it and construct it in the right way. So now I think that he's given me that in terms of scripture, in terms of wanting to dig into the truth of the word and the heart of the matter of what the Lord is saying, rather than just kind of being skeptical unnecessarily and being resistant and kind of prideful in regards to receiving the word of God from others. So yeah, so back to success. Something that the Lord had put on my heart was that a false expectation of success has really caused so many believers to abandon the call, to abandon the faith, to abandon their responsibilities, to abandon marriages, to abandon assignments, because all of these things have not lived up to their perceived expectation of success, when in reality, their perceived understanding of success was too shallow. So the Lord wants us to go deeper in our understanding of what true success is. Shut out the world, shut out the noise. Scripture tells us in Romans 12:2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of the world, rather be renewed in mind. Renew your mind in accordance to the scriptures. Then you'll be able to test and approve of God's will and see that it's good, pleasing, and perfect. This is how Paul could be, you know, Paul, I love Paul because he had a target, he had a goal and an ambition, but this was a God ambition to reach Rome. It was a God ambition because he didn't want to go to Rome so that he could seem fancy. He wanted to go to Rome because he knew that this was a beautiful, bubbling hub, that if he could preach and minister the gospel there, then the gospel would be catapulted all over the globe. He's like, my target, my vision, my mission, my purpose in this life is to go to Rome. However I get there, I don't care. I just want to reach Rome and I want to minister the gospel. And he attained that goal because the Lord was with him. So Paul was successful. Now, if we look at Paul's life, someone could say this man was not successful. He had everything. He was a Pharisee. He did this, he did whatever. He had good standing. Then he abandons all of that to follow this strange new religion, this strange new sect of Judaism or whatever it is. Not only that, he's had so many near misses with death. He's been stoned. All of these things have happened to him. He's been imprisoned. But Paul, you always see in his letters, he's like, I'm delighted that I've been imprisoned because now I have the opportunity to preach the gospel to the prison guards. I have the opportunity to minister to the people in the prisons. I have the opportunity. He had the right perspective, which is why only Paul could have said, I have learned the secret of being content in every circumstance, whether I have abundance, whether I have little, I have learned the secret of contentment. And that's where the scripture says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And he wasn't just saying I can do whatever I want to do, but he's like, I am graced for my race. I'm graced for my assignment. Not everybody is graced to do what I'm doing, because I'm sure people were looking at Paul and being like, Broski is cursed. Broski surely has abandoned the way of the Lord. That's what they said to Job when Job endured suffering. They said, bro, you've done something wrong. Like, no one can go through this much hardship unless they've done something wrong. And Job was adamant. He's like, I have not sinned against God. Like, as far as I know, I have not sinned against God. So in the same way, you know, Paul's life, you could look at him and be like, oh, he's in prison, this, that, whatever. Forgetting that the word of God actually tells us, I believe it's in Ephesians, that if you are insulted for the name of Christ or because of the name of Christ, you are indeed blessed. You are blessed. You are blessed. And this is not the version of success that we are sold. This is not the version of success that we are reminded of. It's not a hot preaching to talk about the persecution of being a believer. It's not a hot preaching to talk about the spiritual opposition and resistance that you will face on the daily as a believer. And because of this, we have constructed a false imagery. And this is not blaming teachers. This is also blaming our biblical illiteracy. But we are now ill-equipped to face stress, ill-equipped to face opposition, ill-equipped to, to face the stresses and the trials of life. It's true, and this is a hard-hitting word, like even for myself, that the world is selling us a candy, cookie-cutter version of success, and we as believers are buying into it, and we're eating into it, and we're also running and pursuing it. So when we're trying to have one foot in Christ and one foot in success in the world's terms, that's why we're so confused. We're like, oh, am I supposed to do this? Am I supposed to do that? Am I supposed to want this? Am I supposed to want that? You know, the scripture is telling me to deny my flesh, but social media is telling me to please myself. I do what I want to do, you know? So it's like we're faced with this contrasting reality, and I just really pray for the generations under us. It's a real issue. It's a humongous issue. This element of social media and all of this stuff, and it's not just starting today, like, you know, 50 years ago they also had their own issues, but I'm just talking about in the generation that we are in. We just really need to pray that God can keep us and we are not enticed by the descriptions and the phrases and the terms and the trends of the world that skew our understanding of what true success is. True success will forever be surrendering to the call of God on your life. True success will forever be receiving Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And Savior and Lord, I've talked about this before, you're receiving Him as your Savior, but you are also receiving Him as your Lord, as in He is the one that calls the shots. He is the one that directs you on where you should go and what you should do and what you should eat and what you should pursue. It's not the other way around that you've just claimed, yep, you're my Savior, but I'm going to kind of reject everything else that you've said, which is like the rich young ruler. He was like, yeah, what can I do to inherit eternal life? He's been told what he needs to do. He said, yeah, I've done all of that. Then Jesus tells him, go and sell your stuff and give it to the poor. He's like, not really sure I'm all about that. Not really sure I want to accept that. You probably just want me to be poor. You know, he didn't say that. But in this day and age, you could, you know, I'm sure we'd wrestle with that. We'd be like, why does he want me to be poor? We say that today. Jesus tells us to give away things. The Holy Spirit prompts us to do things. And we're like, why do you just want me to live a life that's just so miserable, Jesus? Why do you just want me to not have fun? That's something I remember saying, you know, in my early days. Like, why is it? It's just like, you don't want me to enjoy life, or you just don't want me to have fun. I probably said that last year. I'm not even going to lie. I'll be transparent with you. You don't want me to enjoy life, or you want me to live a life that is just sub-level to what my perspective or perception of success is. Like, this is getting into the reality. So I don't know if this word is really going to be for everyone, but this is when you were at that stage where maybe you have emerged from teenager Christianity and now you're really tasting the meat of real life. You are tasting the meat and the difficulties of what it means to actually stand and walk as an integral believer and a woman of God that is intent on pleasing the Lord and pursuing and advancing His will for your life. And now all of hell has queued on and said, hey, there we go. That's one. She wants to pursue God. Let's put all of our ammunition on her and strike her down. So now you're tasting that, and now you're really feeling frustrated. You're feeling spiritually restless because you're like, this just feels like everything is coming at me at once. It feels like this walk, it's costing too much. It's too expensive. Like this rich young ruler, it's too expensive. It's going to cost me too much. I don't know if I'm going to go on. I want to encourage you that you need to have your understanding of success redefined. Your understanding of success has been corrupted by this world. Your understanding of success has been manipulated by the enemy's attempt to lure you away through riches and the reward and the accolades of this life. You don't want to hear well done from the world. You want to hear well done from the Father. That is what we want to hear at the end of the day. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Not well done, my good and rich servant. Not well done, my good and prosperous servant. Not well done, my good and attractive servant. He didn't even say that. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. So these things that you are pursuing that are not rooted in God, let them perish. Because if we are pursuing after perishable things, we ourselves will also perish. And that's not the Lord's will for your life. It's not the Lord's will for my life. And we are not pursuing after perishable things. Instead, we are pursuing the Lord, our God, and we are going to love him with our whole heart, our whole soul, our whole mind. We are going to yield ourselves to him and his purpose and his call for our life. We are not going to compare what from the next person and measure our success according to who we can see. We're not going to be like Peter was saying, Lord Jesus, but what about John? What about that guy? You've told me what you're going to do with me, but what are you going to do with them? We're going to focus, as Jesus said, as for you, follow me, fixing our gaze on him and running full throttle towards that the mark that is set before us that Christ Jesus laid out through his example. That's it, guys. I could keep going, but for the purposes of time, I just want to encourage you. Success, let the Lord redefine it for you. Let the Holy Spirit redefine success and what true success really is. And you will always find what true success is in the scriptures. You will always find the meaning of true success. Should you have ears to hear, should you have a willing heart to receive, Jesus is plain and clear. He said, in this life, you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. I am the prize. I am the reward. Pursue me and you will have everything you need. So with that, guys, I will see you and catch you in the next episode. Until then, peace.